You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we focus on the Bible and invite you to test what is taught in light of what the Scriptures teach.
Welcome to Season 10, Episode 2 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about a call to holiness. Let's get started. In this series that we're going through this season, we're looking at the true grace of God from the first letter of Peter. When we think about the true grace of God, this is not as the world defines it. This is as Peter defines it in his letter. So in the second lesson in the series, we're going to be looking at what he writes about a call to holiness, that we are to be holy as God is holy. So the verses we're going to be looking at is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 21. Verse 13 says, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" We'll stop there for now. But notice what Peter says at the very beginning of this. He says, "Therefore." When we see the word "therefore" in the Bible, it means that there is a conclusion. What he is about to say is a conclusion based upon what was just said. So based upon the previous discussion, what we talked about last week, the fact that we have a living hope of eternal life because God worked to make salvation possible for us, because our salvation is the outcome of our faith. Because of those things, we are to obey Jesus Christ, as verse 2 talks about. And this is what he's mentioning here. This is what he's describing in verse 13 and 14, how we are to obey the Lord. Because of the salvation that is available from God, because of the hope that we have, because salvation is obtained as the outcome of our faith, we are to do what he is saying here. So what does he say here in these verses? What is it that we have been called to do? Notice what he says there in verse 13. "Therefore, prepare your minds for action." Or the King James Version says, "Gird up the loins of your mind." When you think about the idea of a soldier there in this time period girding up their loins, it's about tying up anything or any article of clothing, whatever it was, anything that could hinder their mobility. The Hebrew writer talked about in Hebrews 12 and verse 1 that we are to lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. These are the things that hinder us. These are the things that could hold us back. Prepare your minds for action. Gird up the loins of your mind. Remove anything that can hinder you from being what God has called you to be. Prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. This is the idea of being calm and collected, which is necessary because of the challenges that we face. He's going to talk about later in this letter, in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, that we are to be sober because our adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Make sure that you are thinking clearly. Make sure that you're reacting based upon what is right rather than what your emotions are telling you. Keep sober in spirit. He says, "Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, we know the Scriptures talk about, on one hand, grace has appeared. Passages like Titus 2:11 tell us that. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. But Peter writes here in the sense that grace, though it has appeared and has been made available to us, it will be realized when Christ returns. Verse 5 of this chapter, as we talked about last week, he says that we are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, there is a sense in which Christians are already saved, but that salvation will be revealed when Christ returns. Fix your hope on the grace that is to be brought about when Christ returns. And then he says, as obedient children. We are the children of God as Christians, But as his children, we are expected to obey him. We talked about that last week in verse 2, to obey Jesus Christ. We are to be obedient children. Now again, this theme that we're talking about with 1 Peter is all about the true grace of God. There are a lot of people who want to pit grace and obedience or works against one another. But they're not opposed to one another. They complement one another. When we read about in passages like Ephesians chapter 2 that talks about how we are saved by grace, verse 10 tells us that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. This is part of the grace of God, that we are obedient children, that we are, as Peter goes on, says, not conformed to our former lusts, not to live as we used to live when we lived in the world. But now we're different. Now we are set apart. Now we are holy, which is what he goes on to talk about, that we have been called to be holy. Again, verse 15 says, "The Holy One, like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior, because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" The Holy One that he's talking about there is God himself. God is the one who calls us. And 2 Thessalonians 2:14 says we are called through the gospel. This is what Peter is talking about here. God, the Holy One, he has called you through the gospel. Now you are to be holy in all your behavior. The word holy means to be set apart, not just set apart in the sense that you're different, though that's true, but different for a specific reason or different in a specific way, that you have been called to be holy because you are to be like God in all your behavior. Every part of our lives needs to be given over to the Lord. Every part of our lives needs to be given to him. Be holy like God is holy. Peter there quoted from the law of Moses in Leviticus 19 and verse 2. So this is a call to be different from the world. And in that chapter, in Leviticus chapter 19, there are also regulations as the people were given this instruction, you are to be holy as God is holy. Well, some of those instructions were simply about being different from the world, about how they were to not trim their beards or their sideburns, how they were not to sow two types of seed together in the field. It's simply about being different, following these instructions to be different from the world. We are to be different as Christians. We are to be holy as God is holy. We are to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, as Jesus said in Matthew 5:46. We are to strive to be like God. But then Peter goes on, beginning in verse 17, and talks about how we are to conduct ourselves. Verse 17, "If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you." Peter talks here about how we are to conduct ourselves. He says, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth. Well, what will it do? If we are to conduct ourselves with fear, what does that lead us to do? In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, the wise man said there that this is the conclusion, or this is the conclusion when all has been said, fear God and keep his commandments, because this is the whole duty of man. Fearing God and obedience to God are necessarily tied together. If we fear the Lord, we will obey him. And the reason why we will do that is because of the coming judgment. The wise man went on in verse 14 to talk about how we will all appear before the judgment seat. They will all be judged, everything that we do. And Paul talked about that in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. We are going to be judged. But we live in fear also, not just because of judgment. But notice what Peter says in this context. You have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. You have not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. We have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Well, what does that have to do with conducting ourselves in fear? Well, back in Hebrews chapter 10, the Hebrew writer talked about the sacrifice of Christ and how we are to regard the sacrifice of Christ. And in Hebrews 10:26, he says, "If we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace?" The Hebrew writer is talking there about those who go on sinning willfully. And this is in view of the sacrifice of Christ. Now, he brought up the law of Moses. And we think about the law of Moses sometimes as being somewhat harsh or very demanding in the sacrifices that were offered, that the rules that were given, and also the punishments that existed for those who violated the law that was contained there in that revelation. But the Hebrew writer talks about the law of Moses, and those who would set them aside, they died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Well, that seems pretty bad. Think, well, how could anything be worse than that? Well, notice he said there in verse 29, how much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified? We go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, and he talked about the fact that you were redeemed with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Conduct ourselves in fear, because if we do not obey the Lord, what we are doing is treating his blood as being unclean, as being common, as being worth nothing. How much severer punishment do you think someone will deserve who has treated and regarded the blood of Christ and his sacrifice in that way? We don't want to be guilty of trampling underfoot the Son of God. We don't want to reject God's plan from before the foundation of the world. The Pharisees were condemned in Luke 7:30 because they rejected God's plan for them. Well, God's plan for us is to be saved. God's plan for us is to be redeemed by the blood of Christ. Let's not reject the plan that God put in place from the beginning. Conduct yourselves in fear. And then the final verse here in this section we're going to be looking at, verse 21, says, "Who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." Our faith and our hope are to be in God. Well, why is our faith to be in God? Well, notice what he says in this context. Verse 20, "He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, God and only God, existed since before the foundation of the world." Our faith is in him because no one else was here before the world was here. Why is our hope in God? Because he made a plan for us to be redeemed. Verse 19, "You were redeemed with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." Our faith and our hope must be in God, because we cannot put our faith and hope in anyone or anything else and expect to be saved. So salvation is available through the grace of God, but we need to respond properly to God's grace. He has called us to be holy as he is holy. And so every part of our lives needs to be given over to him, that we do what he has said, we avoid what he has told us not to do, but in everything that we do, we obey the Lord as he has called us to do.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.
The lessons in this season of this podcast are based on a sermon series that is being presented at the Eastside Church of Christ in Morgantown, Kentucky. And so if you would like to hear the sermon that this episode is based upon, which will go into more detail than we did today, you can check out the link to the audio in the show notes. And I'll take you to the page on the church's website that has the audio and also outline for this lesson. Also, yesterday we sent out a free PDF to the subscribers of the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. We send these out once a month or so, the different bonus emails for subscribers. But we sent out a free PDF yesterday, Great Days in History. This was our recent series that we did on the website. This PDF takes all of those articles, puts them together so you have them in one file all together. And this Great Days in History series was basically an outline of the scheme of redemption. So that has been sent out. If you are not on the Plain Bible Teaching email list and you would like to receive this free PDF, you can sign up at the website at plainbibleteaching.com/subscribe. Put your email address in there, then confirm that once you get the confirmation email, and then you'll receive that free PDF. Next week, we're going to be talking about the enduring Word of God. Until then, I hope you have a great week.